Northeastern Report, folks, is sponsored by the New Moon Cafe, Landmark Restaurant. Been in business over 40 years. New Moon Cafe, the best Tex-Mex anywhere. They got Blue Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Burger Wednesdays, Thursday Thursdays. Saturdays, Sundays, you got breakfast brunch. The New Moon Cafe, Montauk Highway, East Quag, Robert DePiro. Sir, how are you? And a very good morning.
Jay, good morning. I'm going to have you help me look at this chart, because my charts since this early part of the year have been completely backwards. You have group on one political side that preaches peace, accuses the other side of being the more rambunctious sort, you know, prone to, you know, uncivil behavior, yet starting fires and smashing windows and, you know, looting and everything and, you know, setting up their own little government. Then you have the other side of the political spectrum who hates the fact that people march. They are pro-police. They were furious that the marchers were anti-police. And during last week, we saw that same group fighting the police. Then you had President Trump and Nancy Pelosi on the same platform wanting to give out $2,000. And then you have a situation where a march to the White House could have potentially led to the hanging of someone that was very close to the president all this time, and that would have been Mike Pence. This is all too confusing for me to keep track of. I don't know who's on whose side anymore.
You know, it was Wednesday's Inauguration Day, and let's just keep our fingers crossed as far as all the unrest and everything else, so... crazy times, man. That's all you could say. And we just got to take each day as it comes. Lots happening. By the way, I just got word DJ LeMahieu is close to signing with the Yankees. That's going to be a done deal, hopefully, today. That's good news. Thank you, fans. I know I'm on edge over that.
Just have a new coach. Just have a new head coach, Robert Saleh.
Robert Saleh, which I think is the right guy. And hopefully, you know, kind of a new day coming with these Jets, because you can't get any worse than last year. Hopefully they get some really good draft picks and everything else. And for Jet fans out there, hopefully they have better times. All right. It's been a tough week. Yep. I'll start with the mother that was killed in Amagansett during the week, pushing her kids in a stroller. You had a guy from West Babylon arrested now. He fled the scene. Can't do that. Got to be careful when you're driving around. What do we know here? What's the latest on this thing?
Only that Mark Corrado Jr. of West Babylon did tell authorities that he panicked and fled the scene upon striking the mom. I think her name is Yuri Cruz, 36 years old. She was pushing her 4-year-old in her stroller. Her 18-year-old son was accompanied her. Yuri Cruz passes away after the accident, which really happened on Montauk Highway. So, you know, you have the school not far from there, and I believe she was going to the school and walking back with her 18-year-old. If what I'm certainly, you know, one of them, the 4-year-old would have been too young to be in school. Now, that road does have a little bit of a bend in it, but it's wide. You need to be able to see ahead of you on the road. You're not on a winding road up in, say, the Springs area where there's twists and turns, or North Sea Road. That's a pretty straight-on road. It's also a wide Montauk Highway as well. Nothing should have obstructed the view as Mark Corrado Jr. was driving his pickup truck.
All right, so Rob, what was it? Speed? Is that what it is? I mean, talk to me about the roadway and the bend there. Is it a viable area for somebody to be pushing a stroller? Should she not have been there? Was the guy going a little too fast? I mean, where are we at with this?
Well, they don't know anything about the speed, but like I just mentioned, it's a pretty straight on road. There's only like a short area where it has a curve to it. But that area has such a wide openness to it. I would guess, and I would bet, that something distracted him from seeing the mom and her stroller. You know, if you're distracted, you can see another car coming. If you're distracted, you're not seeing a woman with a stroller. So I'm going to go with distraction.
Tough one. Really is a tough case. And again, the guy fled the scene, which he never should have done, obviously. Came back, turned himself in. But, man, I'll tell you, you got to keep your eyes on the road. You got to be careful. You don't know who's in the road. It's a very tough situation. Very tough situation. All right, let's move on. You know, a lot of people want more of these rollout centers with the vaccine. There's just not enough, especially out in the East End. Not enough. You know, now you have Stony Brook set up. That was canceled. You know, people are irate over this. You know, they had appointments at Stony. Now they got to kind of redo it on the site. You know, it's just a mess, an absolute mess here. What do we know out there?
Yeah, you pretty much just said it in a nutshell. Somebody needs to really, you know, rein in the situation. You know, you have testing sites that are being announced, and when you get there, they're either late or they're at a different site other than where they're supposed to be. We know all about the whole vaccine situation where people are, you know, waiting. This has not been handled. If you could say that the federal government bungled the whole coronavirus situation from the start, then you have to be fair and say that the state is bungling because they are in charge. And I don't believe you can really lay it all on the hospitals. You know, you had that threat by the governor like a week ago. There's just too many. This should be like a straight-up situation. This is open today. This is where you get a vaccine tomorrow. Hey, this college is going to be administering COVID-19 shots. This senior center is having it on this day. They're still working on it. But what they're doing right now, I don't know whether they jumped the gun on it. It's almost like they jumped the gun on getting everything going. And in doing that, it's created a lot of unevenness.
The problem also is you can't have 41% of your supply here in the state being divvied out. And you can't, you're right, you can't make the threats. Stop with the threats. Don't make threats. Fines and everything else. Listen, right now you got to divvy out your supply. Now, listen, I understand you're only getting 300,000 doses a week, and that's got to be amped up from the top, as we have mentioned all along here, the federal government. When you have it, you got to send it out. You can't hold it. I mean, that's the bottom line. As far as these vaccination centers, have we not learned anything from the COVID testing from way back in time? You know, it seems like, you know, we kind of had a center, a spot pop up here and there, the testing. You know, you go back to May and June and everything else, April, regarding testing. And then it wasn't even fixed properly. So have we not learned from that episode as far as the vaccination rollouts are concerned? Have your sites in place, please. Okay? Don't have Stony Brook come into play and then tell everybody who received an appointment that it's null and void and they got to redo it now because of a situation with a link. That is unacceptable to me. Okay? Unacceptable. I know people that don't have an appointment who are part of an essential crowd of 1A and B into April and was moved up in March because of Stony Brook, and now that's out the window. So they have to fix this mess. You can't have a PSEGLI type deal with a crashing of a website. Can't have it. And you have to make sure if you're setting up a phone number, you get through properly and not on hold an hour and a half. I tell you, this type of stuff is unacceptable to me. It's unacceptable. You can't blame the federal government for this mess.
Well, what there should be is just a straight-up appointment. I would say, Jay, to even get tested, there should just be, like, a dentist appointment. You know, okay, you're going to be tested at 8:45 a.m., doctor appointment, I don't know, hairdresser appointment. Because, you know, you do have people that there are days, we are in January. Of course, we haven't had bitter cold, but we did have really cold weather, what, like right before Christmas, but not leading, like the couple days before Christmas, I was in line in one community, and it was relatively warm. They had like a trailer that they brought there, a mobile van. But on the other days, you know, you got people waiting in long lines for over 2 hours, and you could get a bad head cold waiting in line to prevent getting COVID. And then you could end up, I don't know, can you get a head cold and then get COVID at the same time? I mean, it's just, the whole thing is should have been handled a little bit better with an appointment. But I think they rushed everything out. As far as, you know, the vaccine, that was rushed out. But as far as waiting to get tested, there should be just where you simply get. Now, some people did make appointments. You know, you called in the facility. You know, it has a number to call. You walk up to the mobile unit. It should only be that way with appointments.
The whole thing is a disaster, an absolute disaster. They got to fix this thing, you know? I mean, that's the bottom line. You can't set up appointments and then tell everybody they're canceled because there was a problem with the link. Yeah. I mean, come on. You know, that's unacceptable to me at Stony Brook for the upcoming week. You can't have that.
Yeah.
You can't have people go on a website and have it crash. You can't have people wait on hold. Enough is enough. Come on, man. Fix this.
Because you don't want people not getting the testing done, because this could be enough to make you not want to do the testing and just kind of say, well, it looks like everything's going away. I won't even get the vaccine. That has a tendency to push back reopenings, hopefully July, probably September. But the way it's going now, if people back out when it's chaos and don't get tested and don't get the vaccine, well, what are we looking at? A year from today? And we're still waiting for things to open up. One thing will slow down progress by months.
Yeah, no question. Rob DePure, Eastern Report. What else is going on out there? We have the lighthouse, right? Yep. What, $31 million? You're going to fix the shoreline there? That's good. Yeah.
Representative Lee Zeldin kind of had a really good week, and of course he had the very bad week with the protesters outside his office. But as far as the Montauk Lighthouse, he did help secure the funding, a 2-year effort to stabilize the Montauk Lighthouse, I believe commissioned really by George Washington, as a matter of fact. So the sign is there. And that was originally 300 feet from the bluffs, Jay, and they did put, you know, revetment around it. It had shrunk to like 100 feet. So really, you've lost 2/3 of the protected land of the bluffs. That was put up with a revetment, metal and stone. But even that's in danger of collapsing. So I think this comes along, just in time. You know, the New York State, as well as Zeldin's office, made that announcement earlier this week. I think there was a Bay Shore firm, a contracting firm, that they're going to work, I think, along with the Army Corps of Engineers and the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. So, that Montauk erosion lighthouse story, that's been going on, really, for, what, at least 20 years now, that from day one when you first heard about it. And the fact that it still was a danger of, you know, getting closer and closer was amazing. But this should finally end the erosion problem. There will not be any fishing, although the fishing and the surfing, though, are going to be affected for 2 years. So fishermen and surfers, you know, be aware you will not be able to conduct any business for 2 years in the immediate area of the Montauk Point Lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. Rob with the East End. All right, so this guy from East Quogue apparently worked as an HVAC technician and stole, what, about $100,000 worth of jewelry over, what was it, over a couple of, was it over a couple of years? Yeah, I think it was over a couple of years.
I think it was over a seven-month period, Jay. I think
7 months, you're right.
In 27 East says from July through January, or June through January.
Thinking of another story. Anyway, they got him. And listen, you know, you got to be smart. You got a guy who comes into your home, be careful, okay? Put away your valuables. That's the bottom line, as Joe Jacklin, the Sarge, said on the crime report a couple hours ago. You know, make sure that you oversee anything. Don't let a guy just go in your bedroom or wherever and kind of, you know, do as he wishes. But this was a guy who had free reign, and he stole jewelry, and, you know, then he sells it at pawn shops for a fraction of the value.
Yeah.
So, in essence, listen, guys like this, you know, they have an eye on. There's plenty of security in and around, and, you know, it's just a matter of time before he gets caught.
Yeah, 39-year-old Christopher Fitzgerald of East Quogue. He stole it from five different, I think it was five different homes, and mostly, at least for now, they know that he only stole them from East Hampton homes. Yeah. And you mentioned the security cameras. Yeah, what was amazing is that this wasn't, you know, taken care of very quickly. You know, the homeowner, I assume you're in East Hampton. If it's wealthy jewelry, you have the security system, and you can, somebody you would think would have said, "Hey, this is the guy that's putting in our HVAC system." Somehow, this guy was able to go along for five months. I mean, as I like, the police took 5 months to crack the case. I'm just shocked that one homeowner of the five didn't recognize the guy. I don't think he's wearing a ski mask while he's taking the jewelry.
No. So a crazy story indeed. What else? We missed anything? What else going on out there? Anything?
Well, you know, the big story probably of that's been around for, what, at least 2 years. The Lewis Road, the golf 118-unit planned development district, may then the lead agency that has taken over, as you know, is the Central Long Island Pine Barrens Commission. Now, they may well vote on this in about 10 days. This may actually come to a final resolution. Is it going to pass? Is it not going to pass? There's been a six-member board. Some of them are supervisors of, like, say, Romaine, Brookhaven, you know, Schneiderman, Southampton. But the one person who is on a six-member board, now remember, if you lose one, you're down to five. That means you can't have a split vote. Carrie Meek Gallagher accepts the position of the New York State Executive Deputy Commissioner of the DEC. Now, why would this be significant is that she is the chairwoman of the Central Pine Barrens Commission. So, really, you know, you can't have a tie now. It can't be 3-3. She's a key member of the committee. And this whole thing has been a very hot topic with the plan development and then the applications. And then it was voted down, I think, by the Southampton Town Board. It needed a supermajority. And then the developers figured out a loophole that if you have a planned development district, if it allows a swimming pool and a tennis court, well, they're like, hey, those are recreational uses. What's a golf course in your backyard? You know, the 10th hole is a recreational facility. And they had the Southampton Zoning Board of Appeals overturn the town board decision, and then the Central Pine Barrens Commission stepped up and said, we are going to be the one that says yes or no. So it's just timing now at this point that Carrie Meek Gallagher has left the post to take a higher post. And we shall see. I think finally in 10 days from now we're going to find out whether the Central Pine Barrens Commission, who says they are the deciding factor, it's all up to them, whether this golf course, which would be a luxury, what is that, I think 18 holes, Jay, 118 units, and most of them high-end, we shall see. Out in West Hampton, you know, you have the Amazon hub, and what does that have to do with air traffic complaints? We all know about East Hampton's airport. They may actually close, by the way, in September. I don't know if people realize this. That license is up. And we know about the North Fork residents that are fed up with all the air traffic overhead. There is now genuine concern that, well, you're going to have a what's called the last mile, that Amazon is going to build a warehouse at Cabreski Airport. And you could say, well, the community is kind of concerned about the traffic that would be coming in with the vans coming in and out of the airport. Of course, you have a traffic light, but you're going to add to more traffic there coming in and out, more traffic in the immediate area. But how are the packages getting there? They're coming by airplane. Is that going to result in increased air traffic? Because that airport, you know, takes care of large planes, but also numerous small planes. So they're worried that you might just have nothing but small planes, big planes, moderate-sized ones, just for Amazon, coming, landing, coming.
All right. Well, it's some big questions there. So, yeah, go ahead.
I guess
up.
The final one is, you know, the Grumman situation with the fact now that the U.S. Navy now acknowledges that there is a there was contamination that got outside the gates, you know, in the southern part of the Grumman property in Calverton. This isn't even talking about the Bethpage disaster. Suffolk County Water Authority is offering up their services now to the U.S. Navy. They said, quote, according to Riverhead Local, we are ready, willing, and able to hook up a clean water supply to, I think it's 128 homes that are contaminated in Calverton, in Manorville. You have that contaminant. I think it, what is it? This is PFAS has been detected. So, you know, hopefully now people there can get clean water. And I guess to wrap up, you have East Hampton and Hampton Bays and the East Hampton school districts. They've had over now 100 positive cases total. But again, I think Superintendent Lars Clemenson said it correctly. He said schools are still the safest places to be overall because of the intense cleaning procedures. I've been in these schools the past month. I've seen what the work is. It is nonstop sanitizing and cleaning after the students leave. Some of these schools almost look like they're as clean as a hospital. So to me, that is a non-story. I mean, you're always going to get a case of coronavirus popping up in a school, either an employee or a student. But overall, these schools, to me, firsthand, couldn't be any cleaner.
Yeah, Lawrence is right on the money. That's what Dan said is true. You know, you got to get these custodial workers, you know, their shots as well. They do a great job. Sir, so do you. And your report, sponsored by the New Moon Cafe, Landmark Restaurants. Been in business for over an incredible 40 years. 40 years. New Moon Cafe, the best Tex-Mex anywhere. Nightly options. You know, you got Blue Mondays, Taco Tuesdays, Burger Wednesdays. Also, Thirsty Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, you got the Breakfast Brunch, the New Moon Cafe, Monte Carlo, East Quag.
And
sir?
Very quickly, Jay, are we looking at a rematch of the very first Super Bowl when all is said and done? KC Green Bay.
Ooh, I think so.
Wasn't that number one?
Good point.
I think that was the first Super Bowl.
Good point. Let me think. My history, let's see, Chiefs, Packers. Yeah, you're right. Chiefs, Packers, then it was Raiders, Packers, right? Then Vikings, Chiefs, way back in time. Then you had the good old Jets coming to play against the Colts. Yeah, I mean, listen, it appears to me, although don't take the Rams lightly with that defense, especially if Aaron Donald's healthy, these are going to be four good ones. I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens with the Bills tomorrow night. And Lamar Jackson has seemed to have catapulted himself back into the limelight with a great win last week over the Titans. So a lot of good ones, and don't count out those Cleveland Browns. But I think when all said and done, I think I like the Packers. And then you got the Battle of the Grandpas on Sunday night with Brady and Breeze, which should be a lot of fun. Sir, always a good discussion, and we look forward to next week with you. How's that?
Talk to you then, Jay.
Thank you, sir. The great Rob DePiro, the East End Report.